The New York Giants select Odell Beckham, wide receiver, LSU.
My draft experience was great. Being able to have my family there, it made the opportunity and the event that much more special. And wishing the best of luck to those guys that are coming up, definitely looking forward to it.
Probably one of the most memorable experiences of my life. I was surrounded by everyone that, you know, supported me throughout my career. And when, you know, when I got that call, it was pretty crazy. All my friends dogpiled on me. So I'm lucky I didn't get hurt, but it was something I'll never forget.
And we going to the Super Bowl. We're going to make it, baby. I love my team, baby. Thank you, John, for drafting me.
You know, I was still new to football at the time. They called me a raw breed, raw talent. When my name actually got, you know, called, everybody got excited for me. And I was just, you know, scratching the surface.
It was all I ever wanted because, I mean, it's one of my closest family there. And just to see the reactions on their face and just to see how proud they were to make it this far, I mean, not many kids could do that and continue to strive to be one of the best that play the game.
If I could give one piece of advice to the new draftees, it would be to work extremely hard because the level of competition obviously increases.
You work so hard to get where you're at now. Let's just continue to stay focused on the main goal, and that's to be the best player you can be.
If I could give a rookie a first piece of advice, I'd say the grind does not stop. Does not stop here.
The New York Giants select now we welcome you to MetLife Stadium. It's draft night. It's Giants first and 10 draft night live presented by Verizon. The Giants have the 10th overall pick in the draft. I'm Bob Papa. Over the next 90 minutes, we will get you set for the Giants pick. We'll hear from Senior Vice President and General Manager Jerry Reese once the pick is made. Vice President of Player Development Mark Ross will join us on the program, and the new head coach of the Giants, Ben McAdoo, will join us here on the program. Over the next 90 minutes, we'll get you set for the Giants pick and then react to it. The Giants have won four Super Bowls in their history, and these two guys have the rings. Carl Banks, Super Bowl 21 and 25. David Deal, Super Bowl 42 and 46. All right, guys, it's an exciting night. The draft has become such a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Tell me your draft memory in 1984 when you were the last linebacker taken by the Giants in the first round.
I can remember it like it was yesterday, Bob. I was in Chicago walking the red carpet with my mom. Oh, no, that's this year. I was sitting in my coach's office and didn't know who was going to pick me, and the phone rang. That was as exciting as it got for me.
David, you were a fifth-round pick in 2003. What was your draft experience like?
I was at home with my friends and family, really close-knit. I didn't want to have any big parties or anything like that. And when I got the call from Ernie Accorsi, I just shook my head because I literally, throughout the entire process, the NFL draft, the combine, I sat with Miles McNally, the offensive line coach, for 10 minutes at a table of 20 people at the combine, and I never had a discussion the entire time through with the New York Giants. So it was a huge surprise for me, and I couldn't have been happier and proud to be a career lifer New York Giant like Carl Banks.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a great night here at MetLife Stadium, and obviously there's a lot going on here with Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon here on the MSG Networks. We're on for 90 minutes. You can also watch us worldwide on Giants.com throughout the course of the show if you're outside of the broadcast area. And let's take a look at some of the things we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at some of the key arrivals that the Giants have this offseason. We'll look at some of the key departures from this football team, and we'll take a look at what the Giants' needs are going into the 2016 NFL draft. Let's get things started right now. And the Giants were very busy this offseason, spending money in free agency. Some of the key additions for this football squad: defensive side of the ball, Janoris Jenkins comes over from the Rams to help the secondary. You got Olivier Vernon with the pass rush. Damon Harrison comes from the Jets to help that interior of the line. Then you add linebackers like Keenan Robinson, Kelvin Shepard, offensive lineman, and running back. You look at some of the departures from the Giants. Reuben Randall, no longer here. Will Beatty, no longer here. Jeff Schwartz, gone. John Beeson, injuries, just too much on John Beeson during the course of his career. Prince Amukamara, the Giants chose to not participate with him as far as free agency is concerned. Robert Ayers, Colin Jenkins, and Tremaine McBride. So, guys, when you take a look at this football team, let's talk about the Giants and how aggressive they were in the offseason addressing the needs on the defensive side.
Well, I think defensively, when you look at what this league is now, it's about rush and about cover. So you got to rush the quarterback, you got to cover. The Giants gave up more points than anybody in the league. They gave up more yards per pass than anyone in the league. So they needed a pass rush, and they need guys who could cover.
And then on the offensive side of the ball, if you look at what they need, you have to have another offensive tackle who can swing, who can be that versatile guy, and who can also help out, if need, to be the left tackle, not to mention a wide receiver. We don't know the status of Victor Cruz. We know that he's healthy currently, but we can't sit here and rest on that. We need to get somebody else in here to play that number two position so that you can't bracket coverage right to Odell Beckham Jr. to open up this high-speed tempo offense.
Carl, the Giants have the 10th overall pick. They could go offense. They could go defense. What are some of the needs that you see that this football team has?
Well, without even talking who's going to be available, I would say production. Production at the linebacker position. Cohesion and better talent on the offensive line. And you can never have enough pass rushers. So you really do have to address the linebacker position. They did a lot in free agency in shoring up the rush with really good football players. But the production from the linebacker position has been empty. And it doesn't have to be a first rounder, but they've got to get production from that position.
Yeah, I mean, you can't fill the needs all tonight.
Right.
There's only one pick. The Giants have the 10th overall pick. Joey Bosa is already off the board. He went number 3 to the San Diego Chargers. That was someone that, you know, you didn't know where he might go in this whole landscape. But, David, how important is it for the Giants to make sure that guys that they bring in are ready to step in and contribute?
Very important. I mean, that is what Ben McAdoo and this system needs right now, are people who can come in, who can be accountable football players, but more importantly, can understand and grasp this offense. You talk about Goff, who went number 1. He was in a spread offense looking at the sideline for his offensive coordinator to get the play. You cannot do that in the NFL. You cannot have that learning curve.
Yeah.
So in order, when you become a New York Giant, you better get ready to learn the terminology and become a student of the game, because that's what you need to do in the NFL.
You know, the interesting thing about it, when you said what guys need to do, what this coaching staff has the opportunity to do now is really set the mandate for returning players, because it's all new staff, all new regime. Nobody has assimilated, if you will. So they can be demanding of the existing roster, but they can put demands on rookies walking through the door and saying, here's where we are, here's where we expect you to be, and this is what you're going to have to do day in and day out.
As good old Bear Bryant said, coach the hell out of them now and hug them later. This is a time when you're coming in. There's a reason why you're picking at number 10.
Yep.
There's a reason why you're sitting here third in the NFC East last year. This is a time when you have to come in and be prepared, because it's going to be cutthroat to make this roster.
Sure.
You know, it's 49 degrees here in East Rutherford, New Jersey, and it feels like it's football season, not springtime right now.
Optimal offensive line weather right now.
This is perfect weather for draft night. And, you know, as I was pulling into the parking lot tonight, I was fired up with all the fans going out and tailgating. Paul Dottino is with some fans here at MetLife Stadium who are fired up about the draft. Paul?
Bob, there are tailgaters out here with all kinds of food. They are braving threats of rain because they love their Giants. Now, I have to tell you, I have been surveying this crowd tonight, and there are more people who want defense than offense with the Giants' first-round pick. So let me get a sampling for you, your name and where you're from, and which side of the ball you're leaning to and who you might be targeting.
Right now, I'm captain from New Britain, Connecticut, son of the G-Man. Right now, I was going for offense, but obviously Cowboys just picked my running back. But right now, I'm going to go with defense. So hopefully they pick the defensive end from Ohio State.
All right, so already Bosa's gone, but he's already converted and called an audible. Peer pressure from the crowd, obviously. Your name and where you're from, sir?
Adam Ferlando from Rochelle Park, New Jersey. I'm going with defense. I want to back up Kennard and get Floyd from Georgia. Yeah, another linebacker.
All right, so you go linebacker. Carl Banks loves you for that. Your name and where you're from?
Tom Farrow, Sparta, New Jersey. I think defense is a work in progress. I like Floyd. He could come off the edge. He could also drop back and cover the tight ends down the center of the field. I like that.
All right, Bobby, got another fan out here, sir?
How you doing? Rich from Elizabeth, New Jersey. I'm going to say we go with offense, like my man right here, offensive tackle. Let's protect Eli and let's get that fifth ring. G-men.
Right. Now, Bobby, I will tell you, the last time the Giants had the number 10 overall pick in the draft, they took a guard named Eric Moore out of Indiana in 1988. Back to you.
Paul, let's see if the Giants wind up going offensive line. Ezekiel Elliott goes fourth overall to the Dallas Cowboys. We are just getting started here at MetLife Stadium. It's Giants first and 10, Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. When we come back, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post will join us after this. Welcome back to Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. The first four picks are in. Jared Goff goes one. Carson Wentz, number two to the Eagles. Joey Bosa goes third overall to San Diego. And the Cowboys take a running back, Ezekiel Elliott, despite the fact that they signed Alfred Morris and they had Darren McFadden, who had a pretty good year. We welcome you back to the program. And, you know, this is really an exciting time. The Giants have the 10th overall pick in this year's draft. Now, throughout the course of the night, we're going to throw some poll questions out there for you as well. We want you to participate. And our first poll question goes as such. Which position should the Giants draft first here in the draft? Hashtag NYG O-line, hashtag NYG D-line, or hashtag NYG WR. So get in on the fun. We're going to have a lot of things going on here tonight. And joining us live on the set here at MetLife Stadium, just came across from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, which
gentlemen?
Yeah, you look at all the rings. Paul, where do you see the Giants leaning right now with this 10th overall pick? Is it O-line? Is it defense? What do you think the guess is?
Well, I think I don't want to insult anybody here, but are they leaning this way to the offensive line or that way to defense? I think they're leaning, no apologies, that way. Now, I don't think they went into it and said, look, we have to pick defense. They're going to look at the board. You know, they need help in a lot of ways. But I just think all along, you know, this whole offseason was about spending $200 million to improve the league's worst defense. They're not done yet. They need a linebacker. You know, I just see Leonard Floyd sitting out there. I think he's a guy that Jerry Reese is very, very, and Mark Ross is very intrigued with.
Well, I think he's intriguing too, but if he's gone, I think what they do, and it's a possibility because the other guy, Jack, is kind of sliding. But if he's gone, they're going to look and see, okay, we've invested a lot defensively, and they'll look and see what's in later rounds of the draft. If there's a lot of productive linebackers in the draft, they're going to go offensive line because that need is still there. And here's the thing. When they put them together they get to grow up together like these guys did, 3 or 4 years together, all of a sudden it makes a big difference.
Look, I mean, I would hate to say the Giants are going to try to follow the Cowboys' blueprint because who wants to do that? But look, the Cowboys put together a star-studded offensive line with first-round draft picks. But now I'm sitting here next to a guy who was, a fifth-round draft pick?
Fifth round, yes.
And started every game of his career. So, I mean, I'm just saying the Giants are reaping the mistakes of the past are coming back to haunt them. Why can't the Giants get an offensive tackle to start in round two or three?
Why not? Well, they don't grow them on trees.
I know they don't. I know they don't.
Bob gave us a great stat upstairs. He said the last time the Giants made the playoffs 4 years in a row was when, Bob?
2005 to 2008, the only time in the history of the New York Giants they went 4 years in a row. What'd they have?
And what was that stretch by the offensive line throughout that entire time? That's why I think right now going with Conklin is the pick. You can have two young tackles with him and Flowers, Justin Pugh at left guard, Weston Richburg at center. This is exactly how we groomed each other as an offensive line, the accountability factor. But you can grow as a group together and figure this is the only second year in the system. They will be able to adapt to this system, learn together, and Ben McAdoo and Mike Sullivan, the offensive coordinator, will find a way to make these guys fit perfectly.
I have no problem with that pick. It's probably the safest pick in the draft. I mean, he's a guy who people think is NFL ready. He's a right tackle at a position of need, right tackle. I mean, I can't argue with that pick.
Well, and here's the other thing. Did you see that peculiar picture that came out with Laramie Tunsil just recently that was now deleted from his account with the mask on and everything else? You know, so far an offensive lineman has not been drafted. Jalen Ramsey was just selected by Jacksonville with the fifth overall pick. A lot of people thought maybe Tunsil would go to San Diego. So now the three offensive linemen have now slid back to the second half of the top 10, which is going to be interesting to see what happens with the Giants at 10.
Tunsil would be fascinating. I had a scout tell me the other day that he think he's got incredible bust potential. Did not like anything about the guy. Didn't like the fact that he was injured too often. He said the last block he finishes will be the first. Now, I didn't watch as much film as this guy did, but this guy thinks Ronnie Stanley is far better than Tunsil. It would be fascinating if he was on the board for the Giants.
David?
In that regard, I've actually broken down all the offensive linemen, and my grade would go number one, Tunsil, number two, Conklin, number three, Stanley, number four, Decker. For the sheer fact, I think that sound technique as everything that Conklin has, but more importantly, the run game. He is a mauler. He can move defensive ends at the point of attack in this system, which was a huge downfall by the tackles last year and the tight ends. The outside zone stretches were all getting bent back in. Tight ends, tackles getting moved, and there was nowhere to run.
Paul, we appreciate a couple minutes. It's going to be a busy night for you and a busy weekend as the draft will roll through the weekend. Paul Schwartz of the New York Post. Follow him on Twitter as well. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul Schwartz. Thank you. Paul Schwartz joining us here on the program. Don't forget that poll question out there. And when we come back, we're going to talk with one of the Giants' offensive linemen. Weston Richburg will join us live on set as we continue with Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon.
The night I got drafted, I was actually at my college and high school teammates' house, and a lot of nerves, a lot of excitement, had a lot of family there with me. You know, when you pick up that phone, it's definitely a life-changing conversation. So it was a very special night that I always keep with me.
Weston Richburg's draft night memory, and he joins us here on the set of Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon, and the Giants starting center joins us here on the program. How you doing, Weston?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, this feels like football weather, doesn't it?
It definitely does. That's what we were just talking about. I'm cold right now, but if I had my uniform on, I'd be feeling pretty good for sure.
So how is you just completed the voluntary minicamp with head coach Ben McAdoo, his first year as head coach. What was it like hearing a different voice the first time?
You know, it's only been 2 years with TC for me, so it's different, but you know that happens. But it was good. There's a lot of excitement. Guys were running around, flying around, having a good time. It was good stuff.
You know, this is the time since it's the veteran minicamp, and this is the first time you guys have been together as a team thus far. What was the message that Coach McAdoo had for you guys to set the precedent of what this offseason, what this season is going to be about?
You know, we talked about leadership, and as you know, the draft is obviously here. We talked about bringing those young guys in and really setting a culture of unity and you know, bringing the team together in that aspect. And I think we've got a good group of older guys that are going to bring the younger guys in. I think we'll have a good group.
You've got a group now that's really starting to come together, at least three of the five guys. What do you see as necessary to complete like this cycle, whether you draft or it's a guy on the roster, for this offensive line to say, okay, we got to run the ball better. We finished tops in passing, but you finished the year with some pretty good rush yardage. Can that be something you build on with the guys you have, or if someone else comes in?
Yeah, I think a good important thing that these guys had was continuity. You know, you play together a lot. I think that's when you get a lot of good experience, and I think that's when things start to come together. So if we can stay healthy, we can keep those five guys in there most of the time, I think we'll be all right.
Ronnie Stanley of Notre Dame, just to update you, has been selected by the Baltimore Ravens with the sixth overall pick. So that's the first offensive lineman off the board, but I'll let you continue your question.
My last question is, obviously, coming into the NFL is an eye-opening experience. What advice would you give to a rookie coming in?
Something I learned is you got to work hard. I mean, it's in college you may get away with things, but here the talent's so much better, and it's every week, too. You're not going to have 1 week where there's somebody that you can just dominate. So I would encourage you to work hard. And never be complacent.
Talking with Western Richburg, obviously the last couple of years have not been what you guys are looking for record-wise. Team went out very aggressive in the offseason as far as trying to help the defense. What are some of the areas that you feel that this team can improve upon quickly in 2016?
I mean, you know, from my standpoint, I'd like to see us obviously, improving our physicality. I think that's going to, help our run game for sure, and open up some things offensively for us. And if we can get that going on both sides of the ball, I think we'll be all right.
Western Richburg joining us here on the program, and we appreciate a couple minutes, and enjoy the rest of your night, and you'll find out in a short time who your new teammate's going to be.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Western Richburg joining us here on the program on the set at MetLife Stadium. A lot more to come, including the Giants pick, which is 10th overall. We're up to number 7 on the clock right now. We continue with Giants first and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Little look at downtown Chicago, site of the 2016 NFL Draft, but the energy is high here at MetLife Stadium. Giant fans are out in full force. Giants first and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Bob Popple, along with a couple two-time Super Bowl champions, Carl Banks and David Deal. So Ronnie Stanley is the first offensive lineman off the board. You know, someone I'm sure the Giants would have been interested in. But he goes to Baltimore. Pretty smart pick by the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, they need it. You know, they lost their quarterback for a good part of their year with a knee injury. So the premium in this league, obviously, is offense. And the most valuable asset on a team is the quarterback. You can't spend enough resources to protect them.
The last two seasons, you think about Eugene Monroe. He's been injury-plagued. He's missed 13 games. They need to find that cornerstone like a Jonathan Ogden that they've had, which they haven't had in a long time.
Yeah.
You knew Ozzie Newsome was going to do something right away to help out that offensive side of the ball. So this is a perfect pick for them.
All right, DeForest Buckner goes 7th overall to the San Francisco 49ers. So, Carl, one of the guys that the Giants were very interested in was Floyd.
Yeah.
And Baltimore was a team that possibly could have taken him because they have needs on both sides of the ball. Maybe this is shaping up nicely for the New York Giants.
Well, it's going to shape up a lot nicer than they anticipated because there will be probably a defensive end. There will be two linebackers if Miles Jack's fall there, and there will be another offensive lineman. So they'll have some discussions in that room, but everything is falling the way that they want, meaning they'll have their choice, and they can discuss real need versus what they did in free agency and how they can bolster.
We talked about this, Bob, Carl, we talked about this. This was a 7-player draft with the Giants picking 10. Now with the way that things are shaking out, 2 or 3 of those 7 may be sitting at 10 with only 2 more picks left to go before the Giants. So they're in a perfect position right now.
And clearly my Twitter friends who had their crystal balls out, any of you guys can be right at this point except for Ezekiel Elliott. They had them going everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you knew the quarterbacks were going 1-2, that Joey Bosa went 3. Ezekiel Elliott goes to the Dallas Cowboys, Jalen Ramsey to Jacksonville, Ronnie Stanley to Baltimore, and DeForest Buckner goes to the San Francisco 49ers. So number 8 is up. The Giants have the 10th overall pick. Any chance you think that as this board shapes up that the Giants, they've never done it under Jerry Reese, but maybe fall back a couple of spots if there's a guy someone's really interested in?
Well, it's kind of a dealer's choice. I mean, you got the Chicago Bears, you got the New Orleans Saints, the Miami Dolphins behind them, and as long as there's no imminent threat to jump up ahead of them to take someone that they want, I guess they could.
Well,
but also, what are you going to get in return besides just moving back in that position?
Yeah.
If you can get another pick somewhere amongst the second or third round, that is exactly what you can do to help build this roster, but also depth. This team needs depth.
Last year, the Giants traded up the start of the second round to get Landon Collins. He will join us here on the set. Coming up next as we continue with Giants first and 10, Draft Night Live presented by Verizon, live from MetLife Stadium.
When I heard the Giants traded up for me, it was crazy because they haven't did it in so long, and just to come up for me for a safety, I was like, that's unbelievable. When they called, I was like, who is this? And all I remember is Mr. Collins upstairs calling. And he said, yeah, we're picking you up. I said, stop playing. He said, yeah, I'm calling you. He said, we're picking you up. And then he handed the phone over to Coach Coughlin and Coach Merritt and then Coach Spags on down the line. And then I mean, it was a fantastic feeling. It was a dream come true. And it was unbelievable.
Welcome back to Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. Draft memories for Landon Collins. Before we get to Landon on set, though, what a draft this is for Tennessee. They had the number one overall pick. The Rams traded everything to get to number one. Tennessee has now moved from 15 to 8. They've made a trade with Cleveland. Might they take Laramie Tunsil, who they might have taken first overall had they not worked the deal? This could be a bonanza for the Tennessee Titans in the 2016 draft. Giants traded up last year to get Landon Collins, and he joins us here on set right now.
How you doing?
How you doing, Landon?
Doing good.
A lot more relaxed this year, huh, than last year?
Very, very relaxed.
Just talk a little bit about getting through this veteran minicamp, voluntary minicamp, new head coach,
right.
Ben McAdoo. How was it hearing a different voice?
It was pretty different. I mean, you have the same energy, definitely, because, I mean, both coaches have the energy to express, to do great things, and they're looking for great things to come out of it. So, I mean, just having McAdoo there is big success, having the same coach even more.
Man, you led the team in tackles last year.
Uh-huh.
And there's so much that's said about what's been missing on this defense. Obviously, you like somebody, you like a linebacker to have some of those tackles as well. But for you as a safety,
uh-huh.
You got a lot thrown at you. You have to play a lot of different areas, cover a lot of different people. Do you feel that helped you going into your second year? Or you'd rather just have safety responsibility?
Oh, no. I definitely like to take the responsibility of what I took on last year because, I mean, it helped me tremendously. It's learning the defense, learning schemes, and learning, like, details, and learning the, what I had to focus on, and it helped me out throughout the whole year. So this year I'm just very comfortable and relaxed in everything I'm learning.
You know, last year, like you said, was a learning experience. Obviously, it's the most football you've ever played in your life. But going into this offseason and now getting ready for this season,
correct.
What were the main things that you focused on to prepare yourself for your second year?
First of all, I mean, I trained with Ryan Clark. So I definitely wanted to learn the game. You know, so, he taught me the game a lot. And then just maintaining and getting leaner so I could be able to move more and get more agile.
Yeah, you dropped a little bit of weight.
Definitely.
I mean, it's not like you were heavy. But you just feel more fluid now?
Very more fluid. It's just because just feel more healthier. With the weight I was carrying, didn't feel like myself. And then I was playing a little sluggish, just slow at times. And when I did drop weight during the season, I felt better. So I was like, let me try to just off-season to get this weight down and see how I feel. And it feel much better. This veteran mini camp was tremendous.
Now, when you take a look at what Coach Spags can do with this defense, and obviously there are a lot of missing pieces. You finished last in a lot of categories in the NFL, but the potential of what can be when you have the pieces in place. Now you've got some additions on the defensive line. You got two outside guys now that, if healthy, will definitely take a lot of pressure off.
Correct.
What is your hope for this defense? What is it, the potential?
Our potential is right now to be number one. But right now, we take one game at a time. And once we get through one game, we're just going to focus on the next and keep pushing forward from there. Because, I mean, we had a lot of stuff that we was missing last year, and we struggled. But now that we know the keys and we all played with each other last year, I mean, we kind of, like, know each other. So just going with the flow now.
In terms of the packages, though,
some
of the things that they call him a mad scientist, Coach Spags.
Uh-huh.
Is that exciting for you guys, knowing that he can come up with some very exotic packages? Obviously, you played for Nick Saban, so exotic packages are no stranger to you. But
correct. But definitely with those exotic packages, it gives us an advantage on three teams because – a lot of teams just try to figure out what we're going to be in before the play even start. But, I mean, with him, it changes the momentum of the game because we make a look, and then it could be something else, and it confuses the quarterback and the offensive coordinator. So it just changes the game for us.
If you could pick one word to describe the 2016 New York Giants defense, what would it be?
We call it grit. We're always going to put our all in. A lot of grit.
All right, so the Giants traded up to get you last year.
Uh-huh.
What was that like, that whole waiting game, not going on day one, and then, boom, right out of the gate, you go on day two right away?
Man, that first day was very hard. I mean, you always expected to go first round, but just to hear my name called and them trade up for me after the years they've been picked, I mean, after the years they haven't did it, it was amazing because they have so much expectation in me, and I love it because I love that chip on my shoulder because it drives me to push me even further to be a better player than I am today.
He's getting ready for his second year with the New York Giants. Landon Collins, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, so there's a lot going on here. Let me update you on what's going on. Tennessee traded up with Cleveland to get the 8th overall pick, and they take Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle out of Michigan State, someone that the Giants really had their eye on. Obviously, this Laremy Tunsil situation with the mask and everything else is not going well for him. He is dropping down the board because he was supposed to be the first guy off the board as far as position players are concerned. And now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the 9th overall pick have made a trade as well. So this is getting interesting right now. You got Tennessee jumped over the Giants, and now another team has jumped in front of the Giants. The Chicago Bears are the team that has moved ahead of the Giants, and now the Chicago Bears are on the clock. Could the Giants possibly lose Conklin and Floyd via trades with the two teams that have moved up to go get them?
Well, that's always the danger. That's why you can't predict these things until the team in front of you picks, and then there's a team that's jumping ahead of them. So the needs of the guys behind you can severely impact how your draft day will go.
All right, we're gonna take a timeout. I know you want to comment on it, but we are waiting for the Giants pick. The Chicago Bears have traded up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bears are on the clock at number 9. The Giants have the 10th overall pick as we continue live from MetLife Stadium. You're watching Giants 1st and 10 Draft Night Live presented by Verizon.
Honestly, I just wanted the opportunity. Just wanted the opportunity to make a team, you know, get on the team. Because I know as soon as I got there, you know, I was going to take advantage of my opportunities and, you know, I was going to make the team.
Draft day memories, always an exciting time for young men coming into the National Football League as we welcome you back to Giants 1st and 10, Draft Night Live presented by Verizon. So we've had a couple deals here in the first round, the Bears moving up to number 9. Tennessee moving up to number 8. A lot of buzz here at MetLife Stadium. Let's check in with Giant fans and Paul Dottino. Paul?
Okay, Bob, thanks very much. And once again, they're braving the chilly elements. Giants are just about to pick now, and a lot of the names that have been associated with the Giants are already gone. So what are you thinking now? If you're Jerry Reese, who do you like at number 10?
So they need a lot of help on the offensive line, so we could really use them at left tackle.
Well, David Deal agrees with you. Who do you like at number 10?
I like Floyd. They got to rebuild the linebacker.
Floyd just went.
No.
He just went to the Bears.
Oh. Then Tunsil this, Eli.
This is the way it happens in the draft. Every single plan goes in the toilet bowl. Who are you looking for?
I really like the skills of Tunsil, so I just hope they do the due diligence and make sure he's the right type of guy for our team.
Yeah, Tunsil's certainly a guy who has dropped. And who do you like, sir?
As long as Miles Jack's knee is healthy, I think Steve Spagnuolo and the Giants defense can do great things with a solid like Miles Jack.
All right, Bobby, we got a lady fan sitting over here. Now, who do you want the Giants to pick at 10? We've been getting all the guys' opinions so far.
Anyone who will benefit and definitely work with the offense.
Now, I'll tell you something, Bob. If the Giants should take Tunsil, it would be the first time in Giants history that they've got 3 number 1 picks along the offensive line. But this is a guy now who a lot of people thought was the number 1 player in the draft only about 3 months ago.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm just following some social media and guys that I respect that cover the National Football League. Evidently, Baltimore wanted to take Tunsil. But when this video surfaced of him with the mask and the marijuana pipe, it has scared off a lot of teams, and I don't know what the genesis is of it or whatever.
I say it's espionage. It's draft day. I can't imagine this young man would put a picture like that up knowing he's about to be drafted. So whatever it is, now you weigh that scenario against a Miles Jack who, yeah, you need them both, right? One guy's got a knee situation that's uncertain.
But we don't know what the Giant doctors believe. Well, that's the key.
Some reports are saying, yeah, right, we don't know. So apples to apples, what do you take? A risky knee or a character issue? Or is it a character issue?
And to go along with that, number one, I do not see John Mara picking Tunsil with a picture like that coming out today on draft day, regardless of whether it happened today or in the past. I just don't see that happening.
But at this point, right now, sitting at
10, if you are not 100% confident in whoever you're going to pick and you can get some more picks, see what's behind you and see who wants to move
up. You talk about picks, right? You better be able to get some quality picks.
Yes.
Don't accumulate volume that's non-productive. Again, you're picking at 10 because you had a lot of lack of production. So you better get guys in who can be very productive within your organization right away.
Yeah, I mean, it's under 3 minutes to go now, and the Giants are on the clock. And
I'm going to say Tunsil.
You're going Tunsil, huh?
I'm going Tunsil.
David?
I'm
going
to go with Miles Jack.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, so the defensive guy is going with the offensive guy. I'm really curious. I think the Giants might trade back. What do you make of the fact that just about 20 minutes ago, the Giants are sitting there with Conklin potentially there and Leonard Floyd there, and not one but two teams jumped ahead of him and made this move?
It was almost as if they needed an umbrella because players were raining down on them, and all of a sudden they get leapfrogged twice. But you would think if they got jumped once, they would say, okay, that's fine. We have another guy on our board, and then someone else jumps to get them. The Bears jump and take Floyd. So that room has got to be pretty intense right now.
What about a DB? What about Hargrave?
I'm just shaking my head right now. Hargrave.
What about Vernon Hargrave?
Yes.
How about going corner? You need more than two in the National Football League. It's a passing league. Why not take Hargraves?
Hargraves could be great. Figure Janoris Jenkins, now DRC. Landon Collins, you can play as an eighth man in the box.
Oh, yeah.
And you know Hargraves can cover the slot. He can do that. He can play press. He can play off. Yeah, he doesn't have the speed that Jalen Ramsey plays, but he is so smooth running and playing.
Let's see. The pick must be in.
All right, the pick is in, so we're going to find out exactly who the Giants have taken. You know what? We're going to keep it right here because we're going to have reaction. We're going to hear from Jerry Reese and Mark Ross and new head coach Ben McAdoo when the Giants actually officially submit the pick. It is in. Hasn't been announced yet, so we're waiting just like you. But Hargraves would not be a bad pick right here.
Yeah, great pick, actually. Now, I wouldn't go in and say if you take a 10th pick and make him a safety, but does he have that flexibility?
Yeah, I'm just worried about this whole Tunsil situation. All right, Giant fans here at MetLife Stadium are fired up. Paul Dottino's all nervous as to who the Giants are going to pick.
Look at Paulie.
Will the Giants go corner?
Like a kid on Christmas right now.
So we are waiting. Paul, what do you think, Paul?
Bobby, I got to go with Tunsil right here. The Giants need to beef up that offensive line. I'm on board with David Deal. After all, we work together every Wednesday.
Well, you know what we're hearing? We're hearing that an apple is coming to the Big Apple.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe Eli Apple might be a New York Giant with the 10th overall pick. Ooh, look, everybody doesn't seem fired up about that. I really liked Hargraves as a player. But we're going to wait. We have to wait until it's official. Do we have official word yet? Do we have confirmation yet, Christine? Is it Eli Apple? Not yet. Not yet. Everybody's waiting here, but I think it's going to be Eli Apple.
Going to be interesting.
Christine, we get the pick? Is it Eli Apple? Is it Hargraves? Is it Apple? Here's the big question. The fans are waiting here, too. Could it be Tunsil? What do you think? What do you think? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
All players are players of need.
Did you see that one scout that said he one thing he couldn't do was cook, but his dad is a 5-star chef?
<That's>
Which
right.
just goes to show you how crazy things are when the draft gets broken down. But obviously, this is a situation where, you can use help in the secondary. They could have used help on the offensive line. They could have used help on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, it's back-to-back 6-10 seasons.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to see if it's Apple, why Apple and not Hargraves.
Yeah.
Maybe they saw something. Maybe there was a better fit for the team. But this is, listen, you're picking 10, so you're not picking scraps. They're still really, really good football players here. obviously the popular choices that everyone knew about were the Floyds and the Conklins and guys like that. So we'll see.
Continues to show you that you never know what is going to happen in the
Paul
NFL
DeTino,
draft.
What do you think about Eli Apple?
You know, Eli Apple's got an incredible combination of size and speed. He's over 6 feet tall. He's got some terrific quicks. He's a good cover guy. Bobby, I think he's a very solid pick and a value at 10. I think the Giants are going to get a good one if they pick him.
Well, obviously, you know, a lot of drama here at MetLife Stadium, and, you know, it's a situation where a lot of people are thinking of a bunch of different scenarios. Eli Apple, it's another Ohio State guy, third Ohio State guy going on the top 10.
I'll tell you who's going to have a great recruiting year for the next 3 or 4 years. It's going to be Urban Meyer.
No question about that.
3, 4, and 11.
Yeah, he's got three players in the first round in the top 10 of the first round, so I'm sure he'll be recruiting off of that for a long time.
You know, it's interesting because this is a player that a lot of people thought might go where the Jets are picking later in the first round. And that Eli Apple can wind up with
the Jets. If I'm correct, Paul, he's a tall corner, right?
Yeah. We got to get Paul's mic up. Hold on. We got to get Paul.
With that combination of height and speed, Carl, he is over 6 feet tall. Now, what you have to understand, with DRC and now with Apple, they've got 2 6-foot-plus corners in addition to having Jenkins, who's a little bit smaller. It's a really, really good situation for the Giants to have. He's tough. He's aggressive. He hits hard. I think this is a very solid pick, and he comes from an outstanding program. The first Giants first-round pick at corner since Prince Amukamara. I want to get some fans' reaction quickly, guys. Your name and where you're from, and what are you thinking about the pick?
My name is Steve Santel. I'm from Carteret, New Jersey. I'm from Florida. I think it's a good pick in the LA Apple. A good cornerback. I mean, you have to put the faith and the trust in the Giants, and they're going to make the best decision for the team. I really personally was hoping for Ezekiel in one of the draft picks, but I think it's a good pick. I think for the Giants, I think it's a good move, and I think, well, you know what? I think we're going to see playoffs, possibly Super Bowl this year.
All right, sir.
Hitesh Patel, awesome pick. Nice cornerback, six-footer, a lot of interceptions this year. I see him.
You look pretty excited back there. You like Eli Apple, I can tell.
I don't want to talk, but it's okay.
Well, I'll tell you something. Some of the fans are a little bit shy, but, Bobby, I got to tell you, the food outside's been great, and it will taste a lot better now that Eli Apple is helping out the Giants secondary.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because some of the attributes about Eli Apple is really smooth, can cover guys all over the field, but the knock on him is playing the football. He only had one interception last year, and the knock on him is that even though he has great coverage, he doesn't make a ton of plays on the ball as far as, creating interceptions.
Well, I can tell you, we had a guy like that I played with named Perry Williams, right? He may not get the interception, but the other guy didn't make the reception either. So I think having length at that position is very important, especially when you have to play the likes of a Dez Bryant.
Eli Apple celebrating with family and friends in Chicago. He is the 10th overall pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, and he's coming to the New York Football Giants. We'll have all the reaction from the Giant brass when we return to Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Eli Apple taken with the 10th overall pick out of Ohio State. He's got a Giant hat on as the Giants continue building upon their defense. It started in the offseason, a defense that gave up a lot of yards last year, gave up those 5 leads inside of 2 minutes, 4 of those 5 leads given up in the last 30 seconds. What a difference the year might have been had they been able to close out some of those games, either here at MetLife Stadium or on the road last year. As we welcome you back to Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. We'll hear from Senior Vice President and General Manager Jerry Reese. We'll hear from the Vice President of Player Evaluation, Mark Ross, and the new head coach of the Giants, Ben McAdoo, will join us here on the program. Hopefully we'll get Eli Apple up as well. Eli Apple was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but raised in southern New Jersey. He attended East Regional High School in Voorhees, graduated in 2013, so he's got some East Coast roots. Our next poll question is up. Why don't you participate in it? Did the Giants address an important need with this pick? Hashtag NYG yes, hashtag NYG no. And obviously, things kind of got a little hairy in front of the Giants, but it wasn't Vernon Hargraves who they liked the best. It was Eli Apple of the remaining players.
Yeah, and I believe that we'll hear from Jerry Reese why Apple over Hargraves and what were some of the things that kind of swayed them in that direction. But I would say, I venture to say, it's going to be his length.
And the question I want to know is, was Tunsil even a thought at that 10th pick? Obviously, it had to be a discussion of concern of what happened today. But obviously, it's made Tunsil drop to where now he's not even at 11.
Well, we're going to get a chance to talk with Senior Vice President and General Manager of the New York Giants, Jerry Reese, momentarily. We're also going to hear from Giants head coach Ben McAdoo and Mark Ross. So we'll be able to ask those questions about Hargraves and what happened with Tunsil and the fact that, you know, Laremy Tunsil at one point was predicted to be the number one overall pick in this draft to Tennessee, who traded out of the spot. And evidently, whatever they did on the background checks, Carl, there, no pun intended, there has to be some smoke here for him to have dropped this far if they felt confident that this picture that just came out was something to be concerned about.
Well, and I'll tell you this, there is sort of a template for this type of thing, and that's the kid in Cleveland, Jordan. Gordon.
Yes.
He had, and you'll talk to some scouts, he had a long history of marijuana smoke, right? And never cleaned up his act. Now he's on the outside looking in, petitioning to come back to the league one more time. Talented as can be, but could never keep himself clean. And with today's NFL rules, it is pretty hard to fail that many tests.
Right, and you have a new head coach and everything else here and a team that's trying to get back to the postseason. You can't take that risk.
No.
All right, we're going to go over across the parking lot to the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, and joining us, the new head coach of the New York Football Giants, Ben McAdoo, joins us here on the program. Coach, congratulations on the pick, and what intrigued you guys the most about Eli Apple as this draft started to unfold?
Thanks, Bob. We're excited. You know, Eli is a young man, 20 years old. He won't be 21 until August 9th. He's a young, physical, combative corner. We like his size. We like his length. Smart. He interviewed great. Combative. His best football's in front of him, and that's really what we liked about him.
Coach, so this is your first draft. Now, tell me, how intense was it in the room when teams start moving ahead of you to take some of the needs that you have? Obviously, there are a lot of needs, and you fulfilled one, but did it get a little tense in the room when you start to see teams move ahead of you?
No, everyone was relaxed. You know, we trust the process, put a lot of work into the board, and the way things shook out, we had Eli up there pretty high, and we felt confident that he's going to come in and be an impact player for us, and we're excited to have him. Fortunate that he's coming home.
Obviously, there was a discussion about offensive line, linebacker, those went. But with Tunsil dropping to where he was at 10 with all the issues, was that even a thought today, discussing it before you picked Eli Apple?
No, we liked Eli right where we had him. We feel his best days are ahead of him again. We're very fortunate that he was there. And the way you do it is you just go through the process. And he was the highest guy on our board at that point, and we jumped all over it.
Coach, we had Weston Richburg and Landon Collins here. You just wrapped up the voluntary veteran minicamp, your first one. How was it making that transition to being the guy that has to make all the decisions from planning out the schedule to running the entire practice?
Well, it was great. There was a lot of energy, enthusiasm. The guys were excited to see what was in store, and we showed them how we were going to evolve, and they bought into it. The energy was tremendous. You know, the first day on the field, we worked exclusively on fundamentals. The second day, we had a little offense and defense mixed in there as well. And then today, the practice was a lot better. It was smooth. We finished ahead of schedule tempo-wise, about 6.5 minutes, got a lot of productivity out of it. So the guys were excited, and it was good to get out there with some new faces.
Coach, now you've been known to make accountability very high on your list. What has been your mandate, your first mandate to this team as their head coach, their new leader?
Well, the first thing is accountability obviously starts with me and ends with me. But it's about educating the locker room and getting the veteran leaders to buy in and getting them to put their arm around the young players and bring the young players along. You know, the locker room is the lifeblood of the organization. And if we can get those guys to hold each other accountable, and I think that's what makes the best organization and puts you in a position to be successful and creates the best team.
Coach, we appreciate a couple minutes this evening. Congratulations on the selection of Eli Apple. And I know you got a lot more work to do this weekend, but we appreciate a few minutes tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Ben McAdoo, the head coach of the New York Football Giants, as the Giants embark upon their 91st season in the National Football League. Eli Apple, the pick. We're going to hear from Senior Vice President and General Manager Jerry Reese when we return. The Giants' first and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon, live from MetLife Stadium here on the MSG Network. Welcome back to Giants' first and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon. Bob Papa, Carl Banks, David Deal, the Giants with the 10th overall pick take Eli Apple out of Ohio State. Kid that played his high school football in New Jersey. We're going to talk with Jerry Reese momentarily, but let's check in with Paul Dottino, who has some Giants fans outside here at MetLife Stadium.
Well, you know, Bob, I don't think Eli Apple's going to have to look far to find his number one fan. We have a gentleman with a New York Yankees Apple hat already in the house here at MetLife Stadium. Sir, your name, where you've coming from?
Renee from Yonkers.
And obviously, huge Giants fan. So what do you think about this pick?
I mean, Eli, the apple says it all, right? This is what Eli, we all know what Eli's do. We come over here and we win rings, right? And so you throw an apple in it, and we're going to win some more rings for the apple, right?
So Eli the second joins the Giants. I like your hat. What are you thinking about this pick?
I think it's great. We need him. Everybody is a good addition. You know, like you said, with a name like Eli, it's a home run. So I'm looking forward to a good season.
Sir, come on up here. I know you were talking about him before.
All I know is as long as we have good apples and no worms, we'll probably be all right. That's all I'm saying. Good apples, no worms. That's all we need.
For the most part, Bob, it does seem like the fans are sweet with Eli Apple.
No question about it, Paul. And, you know, that's always how it goes, right? And that's why the Giants have one of the great fan bases in the National Football League, because – they might have argued about who they wanted to see the team pick or whatever, but once the pick is made, everybody rallies behind it. And you know what? Again, when you look at what the Giants put on the field last year defensively and their inability to stop people, you cannot argue with bringing another defensive player in.
By what week was it when they were struggling to find enough defensive backs to field in a game? Late in the year, they didn't have safeties. They were down on corners, and they were just trying to get guys – but when you look at the backups that were getting hurt, then backups weren't even available. Now you got frontline guys, and some of the guys who were contributors as starters last year that will be backups this year, that's going to give them the depth that Dave was talking about. And that's what you need in a passing league.
Not to mention, you talk about bringing in another corner, maybe possible nickel slot. But now when you're looking at the NFL, defenses are in 65% of the time sub packages to stop the passing game and to be able to attack the quarterback. So this gives them another piece for Steve Spagnuolo to mix up schemes, mix up coverages, and to help out so that now this front with Snacks, Olivier Vernon, JPP have help on the back end as well.
Carl, it's not a guarantee of success, but how important is it to also, you're bringing in a guy that comes from a proven program, proven system, with a guy like Urban Meyer, Ohio State. Well, I'm going to get your comment on that in a second, because we're going to shift our attention back across the parking lot from here at MetLife Stadium to the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. The Senior Vice President and General Manager of the New York Giants, Jerry Reese, joins us here on the program. Jerry, congratulations on the pick with Eli Apple. What is it about Apple that caught your eye?
Well thanks, Bob. Yeah, you know, apple of our eye. Number one, it's, you know, he was the highest player on our board without any issues. And number two, he was absolutely a need pick for us. You know, when I look at our roster,
I see, you know, two starters and some guys who are backup spot players who trying to work their way into the starting role. This kid, it comes from a big program. He's young. He's a height, weight, speed guy. We just think he has a huge upside, and we think we're a better football team now getting this guy to give us a solid third corner that we know can go in there and play.
Jerry, you know, you mentioned, you know, clean off the field. Did the latest video that came out with Tunsil weigh in at all in how you guys looked at your board tonight?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. You know, that's unfortunate for that young man, but it's really not for me to have speak on.
Jerry, you spent a lot of money shoring up the defensive line, in particular the pass rush, and we know that the name of the game in today's defending against today's offense is rush and cover. Can you rush the quarterback, and can you cover? And talking to Coach McAdoo, he said one of the things that stood out about Apple was that he was combative. Is that one of the things that showed up a lot in your scouting reports?
Yeah, well, we think he's a complete corner. We think he can step in and play quickly right away. We think we can, you know, get a starter out of him. Obviously, he comes in and earns his spot here. But again, you know, he's a height, weight, speed, big program, very productive. The guy's been MVP of the team in some bowl games, that type stuff. And again, he was the highest player on our board without any issues. And it was a need position. We're very happy to have him on our team. I feel great about this pick.
How was it for you guys sitting in the room watching first one team move up to trade ahead in the round and then to see another team? What was it like sitting in the draft room?
Well, it's just normal in the draft. It happens, you know, all the time in the draft. Teams move up, teams move down, and, you know, you see what your options are with respect to that. And, you know, we stayed where we were at 10, and we picked a terrific player there.
Jerry, obviously because of the way you had your board set up and seeing the movement that went in front of you, no real compelling interest to try to make a move up, right? Because the players that were sitting there, no matter who was going to fall to you at number 10, was going to be someone that you had highly rated?
Yeah, we talked about all those scenarios, you know, before we even walked into our draft room. That's what we've been the last couple of weeks talking about these things. We already had talked that out, and it was nobody up there that we were going to move up for, you know, for the price you had to pay to move up.
In the process, we talked to Coach McAdoo about the process, and you guys trust the process, and then you talked about the guy that was available, the best guy that fit a need. Now, as you look beyond this first need, still need to get production in other areas. You guys still have your board set for the things that will come in the next round for you as well?
Absolutely. We have some guys right now in our mind who we could possibly be there in the second round for us. And we're going to look at, you know, see how the players come off the board right now and see if there's a possibility that if somebody falls that we love, we're looking to get back into the first row right there. But we'll see how it unfolds. But we do have guys in the second and third round, guys that we think could possibly still be on the board when we're picking in the second and third round.
So you checked the box at cornerback. Now you can go to some other areas. Or is the cornerback still on
you know, my thought on that, Carl, is we're going to still, you know, try to pick the best player available and stay true to our board. And but we were able to get some value and need tonight with a great pick with Eli Apple.
Quality person, comes from a quality program, has got quality specs, and really good fit for the New York Giants. Eli Apple, the 10th overall pick. Jerry, we appreciate some time here tonight. I know it's a very busy weekend for you and your entire staff. It doesn't end here this evening, but thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Eli
Thank you.
Apple,
Thank
the
you, Jerry.
10th overall pick taken by the Giants. And you heard what Jerry said. They had him rated. Maybe, you know, see, that's the thing about the draft that's
right.
Interesting is that, you know, everybody does these mock drafts, but the league kind of tells you what they think of the guy.
Right, exactly.
So we're going to take a timeout when we come back here on the program. A whole lot more, including Mark Ross, who is the VP of Player Evaluation. We'll continue talking about Eli Apple as the Giants take him to the 10th overall pick. It's Giants First and 10, Draft Night Live. Presented by Verizon, enthusiastic crowd here at MetLife Stadium on a brisk Thursday.
The 10th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Eli Apple, defensive back, Ohio State.
Eli Apple selected by the Giants with the 10th overall pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, as the New York Giants have added more to their defense, selecting a cornerback, and as Jerry Reese mentioned, got the size, comes from the program, is a young player, played his high school football in southern New Jersey, but someone that is going to help a team that really needed a lot of help on defense.
How about this, though? Best player available without issues. So you get the whole package with this guy. So, and I think character is a big thing. When you're trying to rebuild a program, you want character guys in it.
And when he says without issues, he's not just meaning off the field issues.
He meant health as well.
Medical issues are a huge component to this, because that's the missing component that none of the fans and none of the media have, is the medicals that only the 32 teams
have.
That's
right.
I mean, every one of these teams do their due diligence. Yeah. I mean, they want to see if we're going to draft and go out, we want to see what our return on investment is going to be. I remember after getting drafted, my guidance counselor at my high school saying, hey, yeah, I got calls from teams to figure out from the time I committed to the University of Illinois to the time I left, did my grades drop or did I get better or did they stay the same? They wanted to see, did I get complacent, did I slide, or did I still work as hard as I did throughout the entire time?
And that's how long ago?
That was in 1998.
So you fast forward, the intel is so much more advanced, if you will, and they can find things, and you got social media, so they were able to get everything they need, all of these teams do, aside from the interviews where you can sit there and tell them what you want them to hear, but now they can go and look and research a lot of different things.
And Eli Apple's defensive coordinator at Ohio State is the new head coach at Rutgers now, Chris Ash. So, Eli Apple is now a New York Giant. We're going to take a look at some Eli Apple footage and going through some drills and being worked out by coaches.
Coach Junta, yeah, working for the Saints.
You know, when you think about Eli Apple, they say, you know, his greatest strength is playing on the outside, playing in man. And if everything goes right for the Giants, with Olivier Vernon, with the defensive tackles that they brought in, with Damon Snacks Harrison and Jonathan Hankins getting that push up field, and if Jason Pierre-Paul gets that pressure on the quarterback, well, guess what? You can play a lot of man press, Carl, if you can get after the quarterback.
Oh, you know what else you can do? You can blitz. You can blitz. You can turn them loose, because if you can take three out of five receivers or three out of four receivers out of the equation, your quarterback has got to make some quick decisions, and you'll get a lot of sacks or turnovers.
And now we have back-to-back years. We're in that defensive backfield, Landon Collins, and now Eli Apple come from systems that were pro-ready right away. So
Correct. All
he'll have to do is switch around the terminology,
but
he's ready to walk onto the field and play football.
That's very important, too, when you talk about a system. Landon Collins came from a very complex defensive system in Alabama. Urban Meyer's system, they had a lot. They were more advanced than most of their competition in college. So you get a guy who has the mental capacity to handle a pro-style defense.
You know, here's one of the other things that I think Giants fans are going to like about Eli Apple. Just doing some research on him, and the guys at Pro Football Focus, they put their draft preview together. And although he didn't have a lot of interceptions, and you talked about Perry Williams as a guy that had great coverage, didn't come up with a lot of interceptions. One of the things in their scouting report that they said that he does really well is he finishes plays. So when the ball hits the receiver in the hands, he does not, in his mind, concede the catch. He's a guy that will try to dig, hit, knock the ball out to create an incompletion rather than just say, all right, he beat me, he caught the ball, let me tackle him. He's trying to knock the ball out and create an incompletion, which means he's finishing plays. And that's what you need more than anything are guys – that finish in the NFL.
And that was what Ben McAdoo said right away. What was the word? He is combative.
Yeah.
He is a physical, strong player who goes after people.
And you know what that means? That bodes well for defenders in a league where instant replay, you don't know what a catch is and what it isn't. A guy who finishes on defense can help make that decision.
All right, we want to alert everybody that's watching on the MSG networks. We're going to stay on until 10:10. We were supposed to sign off at 10, but we're going to talk with Mark Ross, who is the Vice President of Player Evaluation here on the show. Plus, Eli Apple is going to join us from Chicago, so we'll get a chance to hear from the Giants' first-round draft pick. And Paul Dottino, I know the crowd's thinned out a little bit. Everybody was all fired up, but you're out amongst your people, the Giants fans. What do you got for us?
Well, again, Bob, a lot of people being very supportive of Eli Apple. He is the first Giants first-round pick from Ohio State since 1984 when offensive lineman William Roberts went to Big Blue. George Young actually traded up to get into the end of the first round with the Washington Redskins. William Roberts turned out to be a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. But I got some folks here who seem to be very, very happy with the pick, but are curious as to what the Giants might do in round two tomorrow. And I know you like offensive line.
I do. I think they should pick an offensive line like David Deal.
Woo!
He's someone who's very versatile, can play any position on the line when needed if anyone gets injured.
I have to agree with that. Pretty much. You summed it up. Go Giants.
Nothing wrong with good offensive linemen for sure. Sir?
I think the Giants overall, we had some bad luck in the first round with where people get where they were taken, where they fell. But I think we've got five more picks left in this draft. We could get some offensive linemen, a linebacker, a safety, pretty much anything that's going to improve the team going forward.
Let me ask you something, because we heard Jerry Reese talk about this was the highest rated player with a clean slate. Our panel's already talked about it. There's obviously a medical issue with some players, and then there is off the field issues. As a fan, how important is it for you that good character players get selected by the team you root for?
I mean, the team you root for, you wear them every day, you root for them every Sunday. You want a team that's going to take a player that kind of represents what New York's about and what you as a fan are going to be about. So when he says best player available with no issues, you know, there's got to be something underlying that we don't know about as fans. But we got to trust in Jerry. We got to trust with the way the team's going. We got to trust with how the Giants are going.
And there are no pits in this apple from what we can understand. You had a comment from me before.
Go Giants.
Well, that's good enough. I know you asked me about the corner. You were interested in Hargraves, who actually went right up after Apple. So come on up here. Give me some thoughts on that.
I don't know.
You're losing your voice.
It's a reach.
You think it is?
It's a reach. I would have liked to trade it back. If it wasn't Jack, I would have liked to trade it back. But what are you going to do?
All right, guys. All right, so maybe not everybody quite as happy as most of the crowd here, Bob. But I have to tell you, for the most part, these fans are going home with smiles.
He's got to be one of my Twitter followers.
Do you follow Carl Banks on Twitter?
Because I've had this debate with you guys all for like the last couple of weeks. Your armchair GM, that's a reach. Didn't get the guy I wanted. I wanted to trade back for somebody else. I got no information.
But listen, here's what you need to know about Miles Jack, who a lot of people had projected going in the top five in the draft. There is a medical question about him.
Yeah.
And we are now halfway through the first round. He still has not been picked. So obviously when he had the medical recheck, there's enough that has teams concerned. Hey, listen, if the guy was healthy, he's lights out.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's not just whether he can play this year, but sometimes they put a clock on a guy, and they're like, you know what? You might get 2 or 3 years out of him, but that's it. Do you want to use the 10th overall pick with a guy that could be out fast?
And that's one of the things that you have to be realistic about, whether it's your first year, going into your second year. As a football player in the NFL, you have an expiration date on yourself. Whether you check out yourself or you get checked out by somebody else or through injury, it's going to happen. So when you're doing this and you're doing your due diligence, when you're talking about a versatile, explosive player like that with a bad knee, it's going to bring up red flags.
All right, we're going to take a timeout when we come back. The Vice President of Player Evaluation for the New York Giants, Mark Ross, will join us here on Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon from MetLife Stadium. Eli Apple, the pick for the Big Blue.
We're back here at MetLife Stadium. Giants first and 10, draft night live, presented by Verizon. With the 10th overall pick in the 2016 draft, the Giants select Eli Apple out of Ohio State. And Eli joins us now live from Chicago. Eli, congratulations on the selection. How's it feel to be a New York Giant?
Oh, man, it's a great feeling right now. I'm just really happy. I can't wait to get to work.
Eli, did you have any idea that the Giants were going to draft you?
No, not really. It was weird. I met with them at the combine, and it went well, talks and stuff, but I would have never imagined. But, I mean, that's how it goes sometimes.
Just talk a little bit about playing at Ohio State and how it got you prepared to play now in the NFL and for the New York Giants.
Easily. I mean, we just go against each other. We're all like NFL prospects. So, I mean, we're going against great competition every day in practice.
Well, it makes a big difference when you got guys that are drafted in the first round. You got four of you guys drafted. So let me ask you this one, because Giants fans want to know, you grew up in southern New Jersey. Did you grow up hating the Eagles or loving the Eagles? And could you love to hate the Eagles now?
Yeah, I could definitely get used to hating the Eagles. I know I have a lot of friends, even my stepdad, they're all Eagles fans. So it's going to be great just to spoil this season. So I can't wait to get to work.
Well, I'll give you a piece of advice. Get to know one of your teammates, Justin Pugh, because he kind of experienced that same thing growing up outside of Philly, and all of his friends, Eagles fans, and he converted all of them to Giants fans.
Well, considering his brother has an Eagles tattoo on him, yeah, I think he converted the family.
Hey, Eli, obviously you go 10th overall pick, but the Giants signed Janoris Jenkins in the offseason. They have Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, one of the top corners in the NFL. How cool is it for you to be able to come in and not have to be sort of the savior of the secondary as the 10th overall pick?
It's a great feeling because, you know, you have great guys, great corners. You can learn from them for sure. And then I could just learn to be a great corner under those guys and then definitely contribute in the future.
Eli, as a cornerback in Urban Meyer's system, you guys got a chance to see a lot of different offensive and spread concepts. Do you think that, not just the coverage, but just the understanding of complex offenses and multiple wide receiver offense, do you think that gives you somewhat of a set of cliff notes as you enter the NFL?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everything my coaches taught me at Ohio State, I'll definitely keep them in my head and just make sure I try to incorporate that in the NFL. You know, that we have great coaches at Ohio State that do a great job of preparing guys for this moment.
Now, getting prepared like any college player, you love watching NFL players. Who were the corners in the NFL that you tried to watch and emulate your game after?
Guys like Revis, Logan Ryan from the Patriots, Aqib Talib. But, you know, now I'm going to have a great opportunity to learn from Dominic Rogers-Cromartie and Janoris Jenkins and definitely become a great corner like them.
Eli, we appreciate a couple minutes. Hey, you're coming to a team where you're not going to be the top Eli, though. They got a quarterback here that's got two Super Bowl rings. But
I have no problem with that.
It's great to get to meet you, and we look forward to meeting you when you get here. And congratulations on being selected by the Giants.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congrats.
Congratulations, Eli. Apple, East Coast kid, went to high school in Jersey. Logan Ryan was a high school classmate and teammate of his down in South Jersey. So seems to have the right sort of temperament here with that 10th overall pick.
Well, when you look at it, and I know fans don't want to hear it, but the process of by which they selected this guy, he fits what they want to do with the Giants defense.
All right, we're going to go back to the Quest Diagnostics Training Center across the parking lot here from MetLife Stadium, and the Vice President of Player Evaluation, Mark Ross, joins us here on the program. Mark, congratulations on the pick. What was it about Eli Apple that separated him from the other guys that you had on your board when the time came to make the pick?
Well, throughout the whole process, Eli just kind of distinguished himself, number one, for his athletic ability, two, for his off the field. You know, he was clean off the field, you know, good teammate, you know, no problems, no issues, and tons of upside.
Mark, when you talk about the process, and you guys have done a pretty good job, when you look at bringing a kid in like Landon Collins last year, you clearly did your homework. He's a guy that can understand complex defensive schemes because he played in one. Now you go and find a guy like this. When you guys interviewed him, was that something that kind of stood out, that his ability or his high football IQ that helped sway you guys towards him?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, our first time we sat down with him was at the combine, and we always put players on the board and watch video with them. And he really knocked it out the box with how he could explain their defense, how he could explain our defense really quick in a couple plays we put up. He talked to the coaches at the Ohio State. They say he watches more film than anybody, any of the DBs. So we're really encouraged by that. You know, he's a two-year player, but he has a very mature mindset in terms of football.
You know, one of the things that Coach McAdoo said right away, and when we look up his description, he is combative and finishes plays. Just talk about him and his attitude that he's going to bring to this team.
Well, he's a big physical corner. He's physical and press. I mean, he jams guys and clamps them, puts his hands on them, and they feel it. And also in run support. You know, he can shed blocks, and he can strike ball carriers as a tackler. So those are two things that you really love in a big corner. You know, a big corner, you want him to play big and physical, and he does that.
Now, Mark, there are still some areas that need to be addressed defensively and offensively, and obviously picking 10th, that meant there wasn't a lot of production or the needed production to have you picking later in the draft. So as you look forward to fill holes, and I asked Jerry this the same way, the process still applies, or do you check the cornerback box? Or is it still, okay, we have a process, there's a best player available. If it's another D-back or an offensive lineman, you got to take them.
Yeah, I mean, if we're sitting there at 40, you know, if we're still at 40, and the highest guy on our board by far is a corner, we'll take the corner. Now, if there's some other players in that area with the same value, then we may look in other directions. You know, we probably will look in other directions. But, you know, just like we picked Eli, you know, some people will say, well, they don't need a corner at this point, but he was by far and away the highest rated player on our board at this point. So that's why we took him. And we were comfortable with the whole process going into it, knowing that that could be a possibility, and everybody was on board.
Obviously, the draft and recruiting process of a player is a long, extensive one and has gone far beyond just this season. But for you guys having your first veteran minicamp that ended today, how much did that help you looking forward for this draft?
Well, I just think more so it got a chance for you to see exactly what you have on the field, see those guys move around and almost cement a little bit your strengths and weaknesses as a team. You know, every team, you know, doesn't have 22 Pro Bowlers playing on all sides of the ball. You have strengths and weaknesses, and you have to play to your strengths and minimize the weaknesses.
Mark, we've known that this has always been a collaborative process, coaching, front office. But how different was it this year to kind of reintroduce that collaborative process and match the talent, the needs to what the coaching system is here? Because you have a new coach, and he's going to do things a little differently.
You know, our main process, our scouting process, was kind of similar to how we did it. Of course, with Coach McAdoo in here now, he has some different philosophies and different things he looks for, and we spent a lot of time with him just talking over things and things he may do differently. But we all worked together, and we were excited about working together and look forward to it the rest of our picks.
Mark, final question. Obviously, tonight was just the first of many picks for the New York Giants this weekend. You know, you look at all these mock drafts that are out there and all these people with opinions, and there's about 65 kids that think that they're going to be first-round picks, but there's a finite number of first-round picks. Do you get excited about the second round knowing that there's going to be players there that not only have skills but are going to be guys that are going to come in with a chip on their shoulder too, thinking that they should have been first-day guys?
Without a doubt. You know, the draft is seven rounds. It's not just the first round. And, you know, this is the glitz and glamour and everybody pays attention. But the rest of the rounds, we got to hit on and find some good players. You know, a guy like Landon Collins last year who deservedly thought he should have been a first-round pick. And now you get a talented player with a little extra motivation. So hopefully we'll find a couple more of those guys.
Mark, we appreciate a couple minutes. I know it's a really busy weekend for you, but thanks for joining us and congratulations on the Eli Apple pick.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Ross, the Vice President of Player Evaluation. So they got a guy that's got skills, clean off the field physically and everything else, and comes from a solid program. It's been the MO the last 2 years of the guys they've been drafting,
solid
and those guys
program.
Have been successful players.
solid program, NFL ready, running a pro-style defense, right, walk in the door ready to be on the field.
We got about a minute to go on the program. What do you think are some of the areas that they have to get covered here over the next couple rounds?
Well, I think offensive line has got to be it. They're going to find somebody there, and they're going to find a linebacker somewhere. They cannot afford to go through this draft and not pick a guy and say, you got to come in here and try to play.
I would say offensive tackle, linebacker, and the one that was a very big flaw for the offense last year, a blocking tight end that can set the edge outside.
You guys haven't said wide receiver yet.
Well, you know what?
You got to get a receiver.
You'll find a receiver.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are not like game breakers. Like the last couple of years, we've been spoiled with what's been in the draft. But of course, everybody you talk to, there are guys that fit certain bills, whether they're slot guys or speed guys.
Right.
That aren't necessarily Odell Beckham Jr. types, but can fit in when you have a guy like Odell Beckham Jr.
That's the easiest position to coach, though, wide receiver. Because you can script it.
Couldn't agree more.
Hi, boys. You have fun?
Yeah, excellent.
It's a lot of fun.
The temperature's dropping, man. It feels like football weather here at MetLife Stadium, but all smiles. He was the apple of the Giants' eye, a New Jersey product. Eli Apple, the Giants' selection in the first round. For Carl Banks, David Deal, Paul Dottino, and our entire crew, Bob Pompa saying thanks for joining us for Giants First and 10 Draft Night Live, presented by Verizon.